and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's the Best of Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Hopefully neither one of us are here because it's the best of. And we're all winners when we do the best of. We get to stay home. For me, I get to stare at the TiVo and get drunk. For Drew, he gets to follow his kids around and live his life vicariously through the eyes of three young, beautiful triplets. So, and you guys get the best of Loveline. So, without any further ado, here it is, the best of Loveline. Yeah! Oh, yeah! Yeah! Hey, Tro.
Hey!
You know what I'm about this close to doing, buddy?
No.
Trapped in traffic.
No! Ken, don't tempt this guy. He will do it. He will
do it.
I swear to God.
I'll drop trap.
I swear to God he'll do it. Just don't
drop
it.
Don't make me drop trap. I'll drop trap.
He'll do it.
I'll drop trap. I can tell you, but I have to kill you. 11:08, 8 minutes after 11. That's the other one they do. I forget about too. You know, we do the math.
Yeah.
You know, we do the math. We do the, you know, we do the
subtraction.
7:36 is 24 away from the top of the hour.
It's also just the restating. 11:08, that's 8 minutes after the hour.
That's the other good radio one. Here's the thing about radio. Anything not to formulate a thought.
And to repeat and to take time.
Yeah, because here's what radio is, basically. Radio is like, look, we have marginally talented people that got to kill 4 hours. What the hell are they going to do? Well, here's something you can do.
Repeat yourself.
Yeah, when you say 8:07, say 7 minutes after 8 after that, and then you say 53 minutes away from the top of the hour. And then you keep back selling, and you keep talking
weather.
About news and weather and weather and news, and you never run out of anything to talk about. Yeah, it's great. That's great. I went over to, there used to be a guy who used to work in a city called the Nasty Man.
Oh, yeah.
He was this bald guy who, God, did he blow. And KLSX, who does the talk out here, I don't know how they managed to stay afloat. They've done a few, I guess, Stern. They've done a few good things, but they made some horrible calls. Just like super, super retard calls. They had the Nasty Man on for a while. And I went in the studio once, and he had stuff just posted on his wall that he could look up at. And he'd go, it'd just say, like, your window to the world, you know, and he'd just be looking around and go, it's Nasty Man. It's 7:08. It's 8 minutes after 7. Your window to the world. The Nasty Man. You know, like, It's just five or six catchphrases in case you ever ran out of something to say. You just look up and you just see it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's good times.
That is good times.
Yeah, sure he's working somewhere. Maybe doing a little, doing weddings, things like that. A little mobile DJ work. Yeah? All right. You know the thing about KLSX, by the way? They want to do a show with me and Jimmy. I want to do a show. No, not going to do it.
Yeah,
it's genius. Yeah, got the Nasty Man. Kimmel and Carolla? No.
Not enough talent there.
Yeah, I'll tell you, those radio programmers, genius. Boy, they're some sharp guys. Very, very sharp fellas. Super smart. You think TV guys are stupid? Think how stupid radio guys must be. You know what I'm saying, Drew?
Yeah, they're stupid enough to be in this business, which is a pretty good business.
Yeah, you know why? Because it's there's no competition. It's like your only competition is from other idiots. So all you got to be is the top idiot. Yeah, they didn't on this station on K-Rock. They wouldn't put me and Kimmel on together for a while. I remember them telling me the program director at this station or the general manager told me Kimmel wasn't on air material. There's a behind the scenes man. Good writer, you know. Good producer, not a personality. All right. Well, there you go. And who knows? He may still be right. We don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Don't judge. Cannot judge.
Cannot judge. Shannon?
Yeah, hi.
What's happening, baby doll?
Well, I actually heard your comment about the gossip, and I do agree that it is ridiculous, but it actually does serve as a function. In pre-adolescence, like, I go to UCSD, and I'm a developmental psychology major, and I just went through all this adolescence stuff. So I just learned that actually teenagers will use gossip to kind of feel each other out, to check their beliefs with each other. So actually, it's kind of a developmental stage as you get older. So that 17-year-old that's all about the gossip, it's actually, yeah, like, part of her. Like, that's,
hold on, you know, that's not pre-adolescence.
Yeah, pre-adolescence is 9, 10, 11, 12.
No,
Shannon, what we actually said was that it is like children to be that caught up in gossip. And then... Right. Which is the case, and that children use that sometimes as a way of sort of gaining esteem amongst their peers too.
What you
guys didn't hear is Adam and I continued our conversation off the air, and we started talking about how women use gossip as a way of getting a group together and then shunning one.
Exactly.
Women continue to shun, just the way, believe it or not, other primates do, and men have essentially no shunning instincts. They just don't do that.
Well, because they're using physical aggression, wouldn't you say?
I would say because the brain's wired differently.
Yeah. Right,
it's just the
way it is.
We're smarter.
Right.
Shannon, you're a developmental psychology major?
Yeah.
For kids, for children?
Humans. Just the whole life spectrum, yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But my focus is
going to
be adolescence, so.
All right. Don't get into that. That's a cop-out.
Why?
Why?
Because, well, let me explain. Everything for kids is a cop-out.
What?
Entertainment for kids, cop-out.
Wait, well, what do we talk about all the time? That's the time you can make a difference is
the
when
books,
people are
the
kids.
People, the kids, are, they oh, no, write no, the children's
is, but
the,
yeah, yeah,
books,
yeah, but this is trying to end therapeutically help
yeah,
kids so
yeah,
they don't
let
get
me, screwed
up.
Let me explain how it works. Here's some clay, Junior. Get busy.
No, I'm going to go blow a butt
what outside the vending machine.
Right, but look at all the screwed up older adolescents we get because nobody intervened when they were young.
Listen, here's a child psychologist work. The psychologist. Here, draw something. Here you go. Here's some construction paper and a Marx-a-lot. Go to town, Junior. Then a kid draws a picture of somebody stabbing somebody else. Who's that? That's Daddy. What's he doing? Stabbing Mommy. Okay, let me talk to Mommy, Daddy. He's got some anger. He feels as if the father's being aggressive. Yeah, here's some clay. It's a cop-out. I mean, you're doing the kids some good, or maybe you are, maybe you're not. But whenever you work with kids, whether it's children's books, children's entertainment, children's psychology, it's a cop-out. It is. It means, see, if you worked with adults, they tell you it was no good. The kids can't do it. They're just working with clay the whole time. Hey, draw a picture.
Well, the idea is just to form attachments with them and help them
here
in
you go.
The attachment formation.
Here's some dolls. Here's some clay. Sit on that very small novelty chair. I'm going to sit on the big person chair over here, and I'll watch you. Yeah? And then once in a while, I'll get called in the court and screw up something.
It's interesting that you would have no appreciation for this. All the child psychologist is really supposed to do, fundamentally, is attune to the child. Just attune to them as they do whatever task
it is that they need to do.
They don't. That's the child attuning the puppy, then.
You don't need 14 years of schooling to sit there and to hand the kid some clay. That's all I'm saying. Now, listen, it's a cop-out gig. It's just like writing children's books, cop out. That's all. I'm just saying. Shannon?
Yeah.
But listen, it's smart. It's a good move. It's easy.
Well, she's talking about adolescents too, by the way, not children.
Well, that's where it gets a little tougher. You're dealing with the 11-year-old that was molested and is trying to F his stepsister. That's different.
That's
okay, now what happens is early on we detected something and realized that this 11-year-old was being molested, you know, most of their life. Wouldn't you say that child psychologist is absolutely important for finding that kind of stuff?
So
that they aren't affected for the rest of their lives?
I mean, if he can spell molested out of clay, I guess we can actually make an M out of the clay. Just call me back when you start getting into the clay and construction paper part of it.
I was a part of a consensus conference down in Atlanta that Rosalind Carter put on, of all things, and the consensus was that the earlier the intervention, the better the outcome, mm-hmm. and that the overall consensus was that most interventions to be effective, really in terms of lifelong change, must be entertained by age 8.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah.
That ain't never going to happen. All right. Wait, someone's got a problem with my
go ahead.
Gas part.
Yeah, go ahead. No,
who else over here?
No.
That's treatment for depression. All right. Paul?
Yeah.
You're 26?
Yes, I am.
All right, yes.
The problem I have with the gas price idea is that
I'm a
father, and...
Hold on a second.
It's like become like the Phil Henry show. You say bizarre, off the wall things, and people call up and react to it.
Hold on, he's a working father. So let me get this straight. He's got a kid and a job?
And holy, $5 will be a lot for him.
Holy Christ, we got to stop the presses. Yes, go ahead, Paul.
I got two kids.
Two kids.
And they live in Orange County. I'm 4 hours away. And I have one of those type of vehicles you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's hard for me to get there at times to get my kids.
Why do you live 4 hours away from your kids?
Because the mother and I met in college.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that explains the 4 hours away.
I see.
Exactly.
Okay.
No, that does not explain the 4 hours.
I know
away,
you
Paul.
Guys met collegiately. That's
that requires 4 hours distance in order to
minimum.
Yeah,
minimum.
That's
if
the Geneva
college.
Convention.
It goes high 17 hours away. Yeah.
Yeah.
You met in college. Yeah.
Yeah, we're 4 hours apart because I live down here in Visalia, and she's in Orange County.
And our question was, why did you choose to live?
Why do you live 4 hours from your kids? Well, we met in college. All right, that's number one. Then, that didn't answer our question. Well, we're 4 miles apart.
4 hours apart.
We're 4 hours apart because I live out here in Visalia, and she's 4 hours away. Hold on, Drew. Let me get this down.
You live 4 hours apart because
you live four hours apart.
You got it? Okay.
All right. Well, Paul, you've made a very compelling argument against my $5 gallon gas thing, and I'm gonna reconsider. I'm gonna reconsider it now.
Okay.
I didn't know you were 4 hours away. Well, I'll tell you, Drew, it takes a big man to admit when he's wrong.
Yeah.
And this Paul must have anchored this speech and debate team at that college he met his wife at.
Brown.
Because, obviously, yeah, Ivy League.
Probably, yeah,
yeah, because this man's bulletproof. He is made of Kevlar, this cat.
I heard Cartman make a better argument today on a debate.
Couldn't just call me fag too. 300 times and hang up? Would have been more compelling. All right, so he disagrees. So here's all I was saying. Oh, forget it. Right. I was saying, let's charge $5 a gallon for gas, and the extra $2.60 goes right into subsidizing all mass transit, buses, everything.
Including giving people free passes.
Right, but now that Paul chose to live 4 hours away from his children,
we have to stop.
We got to stop that. We'll put that. I got some, as a matter of fact, Drew.
And by the way,
I got to stop the paperwork from going through.
Oh, good. And by the way,
I got to stop it now.
He decided to live 4 hours apart from his children because he's 4 hours apart from his children.
4 hours from his children. So, I'm unclear whether he's divorced or
never married. College had kids, got pregnant in college. Whatever.
What do you think? No. I'd like to know. Now I got to know, Paul.
Yes.
Are you you married?
No, we never married. She did a 360 on me and started hitting me and calling me names and everything.
By the way, 360 would be her right back where she started
from. You're facing the same direction. She did a 180 on you.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So she did a 180 on you and started beating on you.
Yeah.
All right. So now she's raising the kids. Right?
So you have the
it's
50-50 cutscene.
Well, 50-50, but you're 4 hours away and...
Unfortunately.
How could that be 50-50?
Well, it's more like 70-50. Okay, Paul. All right, buddy. Take care of those kids.
Oh, my. Right, at least again, he's 26 to take care of kids. That's
very articulate.
God bless him.
And puts together a very compelling argument.
Cartman, better debater.
She did a 360.
Much better.
Spencer.
Yeah?
You're 13? What's happening?
Well,
girl?
Yeah, I'm a girl.
Yeah. What's going on, girly? Female girl person? Yeah.
I've never heard of another girl Spencer. But anyways.
No, it's usually a dude name, but
you like that though, Adam.
I love that Joey and
Sam.
Sam,
Frankie?
Yeah, Frankie can go Butch Dyke, though.
Spencer.
That's a hot name for a chick.
Thanks.
Yeah,
Logan.
You got it going on.
What's up?
Logan?
Okay. I don't know. Is that a good
Logan's
thing?
Nice.
Yeah.
That's nice for a girl.
Yeah.
That's like with Spencer. There's not a lot of Logan guys out there either.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, over the past summer, I was put into a inpatient treatment for suicidal tendencies and depression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was put in by my dad, and my parents are divorced, and my mom basically didn't approve of it, and she pulled me out early. Mm. So, like, my treatment wasn't finished there, basically.
Right.
And so, and this sounds really bad, but the people I met there, they gave me ideas to continue, like, my bad habits.
Like what?
Like drinking and... and experimenting with drugs, yeah. Becoming sexually active. And
well, Drew, what about that? I mean, don't some of those treatment places, isn't it sort of like prison? Like a guy who's maybe a marginal offender gets put in with some hardcore people and all of a sudden turn into a hardened criminal?
Yeah, and I'm not sure that has been thoroughly studied the way maybe it should have been. For instance, even in chemical dependency units, people will often... find out how to use more you know,
yeah,
harder forms.
I mean, I would think if you're talking about people in their 30s, it would be less likely. But if
but
you're
a 13-year-old with a 17-year-old, and there's all sorts of discussion about whether these populations should be mixed and how you monitor if they are.
There's going to be a lot of effing going on too. There's going to be information and fluid exchange.
Yeah. So that's not so good, Spencer. Really, but why don't you get back? It's all a sign that you're really seriously still in distress. So why don't you get back to the people that were treating you, at least make contact with them?
Well, see, the problem is it was at, like, a hospital, like, kind of far away from where I live. Mm-hmm. And my mom's really against it. And right now I'm seeing a therapist, but my therapist went on leave because her daughter's, like, ill or something.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of left, like, deserted. And
but this is the issue. When you feel abandoned like that, you start acting out. So you gotta get a referral to somebody to connect with while your therapist is gone. This won't work if you're just sort of drifting out there.
Okay.
All right, baby doll.
But it's good that you know this. You got some insight. That's
you
good.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're all right. You're 13.
Just don't do these things you think are such great ideas. The solutions to your problems, what you think are solutions, are the problems.
Mm-hmm.
Or certainly going to become the problems if you indulge them.
Well, I've already done them. So.
All right, you got them out of your system. I'll tell you what would be good is a colonic, right, Drew?
Yeah, that cures everything. Didn't we have Dave Navarro?
Dave Navarro in here?
Yeah.
Got a lot of what the body does is it stores toxins.
Oh, God.
Okay? You're like a locker for toxins, okay? You got to flush them out. Hey, you ever feel tired in the morning?
Yeah.
Alarm goes off, you don't feel alarm goes off, you wish you could sleep for another hour.
How'd you know?
Yeah, I know, because you've stored toxins.
Where'd I store them?
They're in your bowel. They're in your lower intestine.
Wow.
Yeah.
I gotta get that out.
Yeah, we live in a very toxic environment.
I'm going to the bathroom right now.
Yeah, you could pass a big bowl load of toxins. You ever walk into a bathroom and it's really rank?
Yes.
Those are toxins. You're smelling other people's toxins.
Oh my God.
People got bad farts, like Jimmy.
Oh, he's full of toxins.
Full of toxins. They just let, it's like a chemical plant exploding. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm beginning to believe you.
Yeah, actually, especially when that math.
It's like, yeah, okay.
Maybe Navarro's got a point.
Oh, my.
Michelle?
Hey, what's up?
Hey. 20, what's going on, baby doll?
Well, actually, I had a question for Dr. Drew about polycystic ovary disease. I was diagnosed with this about a year ago, and I've been on medication for a very long time. And I was wondering, actually, if there's other alternatives than the medication that I'm on.
We have glucophage?
I'm taking glucophage. I'm taking spironolactone, a thyroid pill, and Yasmin birth control.
Oh, my
obviously
goodness.
The birth control is going to stay, but I'm taking all of the other medication too, and I was wondering, I'm actually taking the spironolactone. What was that?
Well, there's great enthusiasm in the endocrinologic community for exactly the way you're being treated, that there's insulin resistance in women with polycystic ovarian disease, so you're on a medication that improves
correct.
The way insulin's utilized, and there's irregular... a non-ovulatory cycling or either no cycling sometimes, so the Yasmin takes care of that, and you're excessively estrogenized or androgenized, and so the Yasmin may help with that. And then the thyroid is a common piece of the whole puzzle too. But I'll tell you from a sort of non-medicinal approach, the most important thing you can do is keep your weight down.
Yeah.
Manage your diet very judiciously on a diabetic style diet, and exercise regularly.
What
and
is
that?
Why?
Will do a ton.
What is that? Why?
Because that's the big problem. Is they tend to get overweight. They tend to get insulin resistant, mm-hmm. and you can take care of all that with diet.
Well, you got to drink a ton of water
and get rid of the toxins.
Yeah, drink. You flush,
regular enemas. Yes, that's it.
Flush the toxins. Your body becomes like a sponge that stores toxins. I love when people give bad, just retarded analogies. You know, they go like, you know how if you dropped a sponge into a dirty sink filled with water, how it would absorb that dirty water and then that would be in the contents of the sponge? Yes, your body's the same. It's like, hey, Dr. Tardo, just because you came up with a lame analogy doesn't...
People, you know, just love the imagery. They just they don't understand. They've never studied science or biochemistry. It's all just magic to them.
Yeah, it's plaque. It builds up. Plaque. At least from years.
You can shunt.
Slug it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I like... there's this new product out there now where the doctor comes out. I think it's called like Cortislim or something.
Yeah.
But the guy starts with Dr. Cinnamone or whatever his name is. And he goes, no offense to casual dieters, but this isn't for you. I like that approach too, where they go, look, if you're just trying to lose 5 or 10 pounds, this product is not for you. Where they go, huh, don't tell me it's not for me.
I'm a full-time professional dieter.
He's offended. They have a very strong union, too, the Casual Dieters Union, the CDU. Oh, man, it is a powerful lobby.
I bet.
Very powerful lobby, Drew. And they're like the NRA. They'll get you right out of office. You do not want to offend the casual dieters.
Nice.
All right.
No, I'll take a break.
Take a break?
Yeah.
All right. Want to take a little whiz?
Yes.
Let's whiz.
All right.
You know what I think? You know my promise?
Which one?
Well, this one.
Okay.
Drew and I urinate together as a bonding ritual and as a...
As a release.
There's a release and there's a sexual component to it. Oftentimes. I'm not going to lie to people. There's a definite sexual component to us urinating together. It's also... And more importantly, it's a social interaction that we have.
Yes, a social moment. And sexual. Yeah, social.
Drew tries to guess whether I ate asparagus or not.
No, there's no guesswork in that.
He's almost 100% asparagus intake.
Yeah.
Here's my point. I'm now used to urinating every 22 and a half minutes.
Yeah.
Doesn't work great when I polish off my bottle of Cabernet and pass out at 2:30 in the morning. I get up at 2:52.
By the way.
Yes.
Two, three times a night.
Oh, you're whizzing.
Yeah, I'm whizzing. I thought it was just going to get older.
I'm down to one. No, here's my point. We have gotten...
Our timing screwed
up. Our kidneys
up.
I think if I go more than 30 minutes without urinating, I'm going to explode.
It feels like it.
I want to drive from my house to Santa Monica. I got to catheterize myself.
Could it have anything to do with the 40 cups of coffee we drink just before you go to bed and then the 2 bottles of wine that you drink? No. Let's go pee. Come on.
All right. Yeah. All right. I'm going to whiz on this. All right. We'll be back.
Loveline will be right back. So get your problems ready. Ready.
Every hour, 2 Americans under the age of 25 are infected with HIV. Protect yourself. Call toll-free 1-866-344-KNOW.
Yeah! Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. We got a show going on, don't we, buddy?
Yeah.
What time is it, buddy boy? I'll tell you what time it is. It's 11:28. That's 28 after the hour. That's 32.
What?
It's 11:28. That's 28 after.
28 after is 11:28?
11:28. That's 28 after 11. That's 32 to the top of the hour.
Woo.
32 minutes to midnight straight up. It's 11:28. That's 28 after the hour. 7:08. That's 8 minutes after 7. 56 degrees. Yeah, okay. Really? All righty. Let's get to the phones here, buddy. We got to help the kids.
Yeah, let's go.
That's what I'm about.
Yeah.
I'm about the kiddies. Jennifer?
Yes?
You're 15
years old,
15. Yeah, that's right.
What's the matter?
You think you're pregnant, baby doll?
Yeah, actually, I'm sexually active.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
It was like back in February, like in the beginning of February, I went to go see my friend's band. And one of my friend's friends, Josh's friend, he was from out of town, and we were both drunk and like we had sex. But I have a boyfriend. He lives in Nevada, and I don't live with my parents. So my boyfriend thinks that I live with my aunt.
Why don't you live with your parents?
Because my parents live in Mexico.
And how'd you end up here?
Well, it's because like my parents used to live here, so like they moved to Mexico, and I just stayed here because I didn't want to go.
Wow.
Like I told my boyfriend that I was staying with my aunt, but I'm not staying with my aunt anymore. I'm staying.
How are you?
With my friend.
Oh boy.
Yeah, and
hold on a second. Your parents moved back to Mexico.
They just left you here. They just left you here.
Well, it was my decision. Like, I wanted to stay. I didn't want to go. So, like,
yeah, Jennifer, you're 15. You don't make this. You can't make. You're not in a position to make decisions.
It's
like
a different culture, and we can't judge.
It's illegal. It's abandonment. That's illegal.
We cannot judge. Different culture. Everything's the same. Why did they move back to Mexico?
I don't know. Low
self esteem, or what? What happened?
Why did they move back there?
They just moved back there, so I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? They didn't have any discussion? You came home one day and they left a note, gone to Mexico?
They didn't tell me. They just said, no, we're moving to Mexico. And, like, I didn't want to move. So, like, no, my aunt had custody of me, but I don't live with her no more.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm living with my friend, Moy. And I had sex with him, too, but my boyfriend doesn't know.
Oh, boy. Jennifer, you got to get some help.
Right now, I think I'm pregnant, but I don't know, and I'm scared because I've had these bumps. My vagina too, and they look like pimples, and I'm afraid that might affect like the baby if I'm pregnant.
Hey, Jennifer.
Yeah.
You got any brothers or sisters or anything?
Yeah, but they don't live here. They left.
They left to Mexico.
Yeah.
And you don't know how or why.
No.
Okay, and you're living with your aunt. Oh no, you're not living with your aunt. You're living with your friend.
My boyfriend thinks I'm living with my.
All right. Okay.
Hey, you're in Highland Park. Why don't you check out the Hillside Home for Children? Go to Hillside. It's over there on Avenue 64.
Avenue 54?
64. Yeah, Hillsides.
Well, hold on a second.
Throw yourself on their mercy.
Jennifer, look, first off, your boyfriend is in Nevada. Forget about him. Break up with him.
Yeah, done. Well, but she needs more. She can't handle stuff like that. She needs somebody to, like, intervene here and to take her off the street. Basically, she's on the street.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, Jennifer, here's the whole thing. I don't want you to end up a statistic, and I don't want to pay for all your crappy kids either. So it's a win-win thing. I want you to work out well, and I want it for selfish reasons, too, but that doesn't mean I don't care about you. Stop having sex with these guys, number one. Number two, yes, you're going to have to go somewhere, and at the Hillside, we've been there, right, Drew?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We toured Hillside?
Yes.
Yes, we did.
It's right near where she's living right now.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, where is it? Write that down.
I told her, Avenue 64.
She doesn't know. Jennifer?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have...
64 and Meridian, I think is where it is.
Do you have a something called a pen?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
All right, so you write...
I don't know if they necessarily can take her in, but they might really refer her.
Well, they're going to help her somehow.
Yeah, exactly.
They got a real nice facility over there.
Planned Parenthood is another thing to check out. Pasadena has a Planned Parenthood.
All right, Avenue 64. Hillside.
Home for Children.
Home for Children. I took a tour of the place. Great people, great facility.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, they're going to take care of you.
Okay, thank you.
Take care of yourself, baby doll. You call us up and tell us how you're doing, all right?
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Who, Lord?
Parents just went back to Mexico.
Yeah, took off. Many things missing. Many pieces missing. For all we know, they may have begged Jennifer to come with them, and she just took off or something.
You're right. Okay.
You know, I was listening to an interesting story about the history of psychology today. They were talking about Skinner and aversive conditioning and this kind of stuff. And he was talking about how animals learn in the face of aversive stimuli. That if you take an animal and put it like on an electrical grid and a light comes on, electricity comes through it, the animal flies off it. Mm-hmm. Well, it takes about one time that every time that light goes on now, that animal's jumping.
Right. That's how animals learn. Yes.
That's how humans are.
Well, that's how they survive.
But that's how humans are. When they're younger, when their parents strike them, the parents hit them. You got to do that once, and the kids are like, "Okay, yeah, you come near me again, I'm out of here." They take off.
Right. So that's what happens. There might be a little domestic violence.
Yeah, I'm just out, and they don't listen. They won't hear. They don't care. They just come out of here. I'm out.
Clint, you're saying you should beat your kids.
No.
Hey, Clint, what's happening? 25.
Yes, Adam. You need to write a book. You're sitting on a gold mine here with great ideas and good comedy. You got to cash in on that.
Well, let me tell you what keeps me from writing a book.
Hey, you wrote a book.
I did?
Yeah, we wrote a book together, remember?
I never read that book.
Yeah, you did. I read it to you.
You read us our book?
Yes, I read it to you.
Did I enjoy it?
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
Especially exclusively Adam.
Okay.
There's a couple elements that stop me from writing a book. A, lazy.
Okay, I got that figured out.
Okay. B, actually not illiterate, but...
damn near.
Doesn't matter.
No, I'm not really. Realistically, I read at a solid ninth grade level.
Yeah.
But I spell it like a third grade level.
You don't spell.
And he mixes spelling and the lazy. And then third, a very unnurturing environment. I got to stare at Dr. Drew just looking at me like a grouper through the wall of an aquarium.
Yeah, but that doesn't affect your writing when you're out of here.
No, but I'm not sure what's genius and what isn't. You see, when I leave the station, oftentimes the following day, people say, I heard that rap about this or that. I was laughing my ass off. And I say, what are you talking about? And they'll say, whatever it was. And I don't know what they're talking about, because when you're in a room with two people that don't care.
Two?
Well, make it Ann and Anderson and whoever.
Chris.
Well, that's why I'm counting Chris and you as it actually in the room and then outside.
A little bit.
Sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. But the point is you don't really know if something's funny or not, because you got a couple of people just sort of sitting there going, all right, take some calls. And so it doesn't register in your head, oh, but I got to write a book. It's more like, I got to write a book called Let's Take Some Goddamn Calls. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right. What are you doing? What are you going to do, Clint?
Well, here's how you can get around some of that. I mean, the creativity part, I think, is already solid. You are you're a genius. We know you're a genius.
Yes.
So
yes, thank you.
We're past that. Secondly, you can speak into a computer, and it'll just type everything out.
They talk about that, but then it's like you go, my name is Adam, and it writes down, I've entered the front door. And I've defecated on the carpet. Worked out those things yet?
The software is pretty good now, except, and it's not. It shouldn't be your first choice, because it does take a while to set up. You got to read pages and pages so it can
understand
your dialect.
You got to program it. Yeah.
But look at it this way: even Malcolm X didn't write his own book. He talked. He told his autobiography through Alex Haley. So,
that's what I got to do. Get the guy who wrote Roots to write my book.
Or Dr. Drew, or anybody who you can just kind of yell at. You got a good rant, and you got some great ideas for taking over the world. And
I appreciate it. I appreciate it, and I thank you.
My self-esteem is
too low to write a book.
Yeah.
I realize I'm a genius, but I also have to weigh that against low self-esteem.
Adam has an aversion to his creativity being contained in something so not ephemeral as the written word.
You're lucky.
In other words, your creativity, your creative process has to exist in time and space. It can't be contained on a page. It ruins it. It spoils it somehow.
Yeah.
Right? And you're lazy.
I'm lazy.
Yeah.
We'll move on to calls. But here's the whole thing. I was thinking about this because I went out to New York and I did this basically the stand-up gig, and I had to host this show, and I had to go open this decent-sized theater with, I don't know, 5-8 minutes of stand-up comedy. And it went pretty good, and it was fine. And I thought, when I walked off stage, I thought, no, I could do stand-up. And then I thought, I can't stand telling the same jokes. I don't mind having the same thoughts, which I oftentimes do, but... Sometimes writing it down and just saying the same joke it's like sort of what's the essence of humor, and it's sort of stop me if you've heard this one.
Yeah.
Well, if I heard this one, there's nothing worse than someone going, hey, let me tell you a funny story about what happened today. Well, if the guy told you the same story last week, it's not so funny.
Right.
So it feels anti-humor. It feels anti-essence of humor to write it down and repeat it.
Right.
On the other hand, that's how you do it.
Right.
So the thing I like about the radio is you just keep yammering, and it just flies off into space, and you never have to actually corral it and do anything with it.
Yeah, Woody Allen was able to keep things, you know, use different mediums to keep things renewed. And
yeah.
You know what I mean?
I love Woody Allen movies, but if you watch his movies, you'll see the same joke happen over and over again.
Yeah, it's similar material, but it's new every time. New twist to it, new...
Yeah.
It's got a creative bent to it.
Yeah. Listen, the jury's still out. Kid's got some good ideas. We'll see how
he does.
I'm doing another 30 career. Movies, and we'll see. Contessa?
Hi.
You're 20?
Hi, Adam. Hi, Dr. Drew.
I
just want to say that pie is so much better than cake.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Preferably. And it keeps, too.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get it to stay around without people destroying it, eating it, it's good for a few days.
Yeah, pie will... listen, a pumpkin pie will last for two, three weeks in the refrigerator. Man. The only problem is it won't last
for two or three weeks.
That's what
people
love it so much, don't they? they love that pie.
Don't drop trout.
I'll drop trout.
Totally.
Yeah. Cake lasts too, but no one gives a rat's ass.
It gets dry.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
just admit I'm right about the cake pie thing and let's move forward.
Let's do it.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Well, about 3 months ago, I met this guy. It was his birthday. I guessed his sign. I found out, you know, that he's a sound guy and that he does recording for, like, Bay Area bands. And I'm a singer-songwriter. And he told me how much he'd like to work with me. And things just went from there. And, we started, like, working together, and then it got romantic, and I was thinking that he was about 24, 25, and his looks are very deceiving. Come to find out, he was 29.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, really young looking for, I was amazed.
Good gravy. Yeah. All right.
And so, you know, it kind of worried me, and we talked about it, and he said that, you know, my age never seemed to, like, make a difference, and that, you know, so far it didn't seem like there was this age difference with us.
Right. He was saying AIDS.
What?
He was saying AIDS, not age.
What?
You didn't have sex with him, did you?
No, I never did.
Good.
Go all the way with him.
Saying his AIDS didn't make a difference.
You had oral? Did you do oral sex?
Yeah, we went to third base. And
is third base oral now?
Is it?
Isn't that...
It is now.
It didn't used to be.
It didn't used to be, but it never really had a place on the diamond.
It was when you came back to the dugout.
You might get a quick BJ on the way back from, like, the bat boy.
No, after you've rounded the bases.
Yeah, it's... Right.
You're
yeah. All right.
You're packing it in.
Contessa's 20. She thought the guy was 25. Turns out he's 29.
Not a big deal, Contessa.
What's the deal?
So now, after, like, about 3 months, I find out that, you know, I get in this little kind of tiff or whatever, and then I start talking about my feelings or whatever, and he tells me, you know what, I don't care, and if you don't like it, then just don't come over here anymore, and totally, like, decides he's going to blow me off.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm wondering, like, I don't know. It seems like, I guess it could have been a too good to be true kind of thing, but I really, like, we've got all these, like, ties now with, like, music and things. I was really getting things started, and now I don't
know. All right, hold on.
Whoa,
hold
how
on.
Long were you dating him for?
3 months.
All right, he was just having a good time.
Yeah, what are you, Contessa? Is this your first relationship?
Yeah, you sound green, baby. Well,
have you had a lot of chaotic relationships? One or the other, this is brand new, or you generally have chaotic relationships that don't last?
I guess it's not any more chaotic than other people's relationships. Come on.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
people say that a lot. I'm never even sure what that means. Like when they go,
it means I know, you know, a lot when of like similar situations. I guess
Joe Jackson will do that. Like, well, we have problems like any other family.
It's right. That's a total cop out. Complete and total cop out.
Yeah, it is. And why is it relevant anyway?
That's like saying, well, I have pancreatic cancer. I mean, just like every other, eventually somebody gets cancer, everyone gets that. It's like, no, yeah, this is serious stuff.
Okay, you're not bad. Right. I need someone to tell me that.
Okay, so look, this guy may have just been hanging out, having a good time, seeing if he could get past third base with you.
Or who knows, or maybe he just had enough of Contessa's kind of chaos.
Yeah.
He just kind of bailed out.
Whatever it is, it was 3 months. You had some S's and giggles, and you're moving forward. Or he's
okay,
moving forward.
How do I get my things back from his house? How do I talk to this guy after this?
Well, you have things that are legitimately yours. First off,
like
this,
what's there?
Are they, is anything worth anything?
I guess more sentimental.
Like what?
Well,
like wanting to see him.
I got him this like nice swivel chair for his like recording studio. And
yeah, that's his. What did you leave there?
Well, I told him I needed it back because I was just giving it to him because I didn't have room in my house.
All right.
See, this is craziness.
Yeah, it's just you don't have it. You just you want to confront him.
Right.
You're hurt.
You want to stay involved. You want to keep the dance.
Here's what's going on. I think he saw her as a little too young and a little too nutty.
Yeah.
Had some kicks. Realized she's a little too mature and a little chaotic.
Well, but by the way,
a little, and now she's coming after him.
Right. And by the way, when he backed off, it was because she was dumping on him about the age thing, Kate coming at him, and how dare you. Right. And he went, fine, that's it, I'm out. And then when he was out, he was out.
It's been 13 minutes since we've gone number one.
Let's go.
All right, we'll be back.
Dude, you got issues.
Call Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Hey, everybody, it's Adam.
And I'm Dr. Drew.
Here to talk about Axe deodorant body spray.
Yes, sir.
You spray that on, you give stink the Axe. Now, get a hand in and grab a knee. Don't sit down. Let's sit on your fanny, son. Grab a knee. Hey, that helmet, that's not a chair. Why is it when you're like teaching gym or a football, Pop Warner football coach, even the things that are just marginally entertaining? Our boy, this guy, he is the Lenny Bruce of Pop Warner football coaches.
Yeah.
This guy's, he's the Mort Saul of gym coaches. Sharp wit. Oh, man, is this kid fast. I love when they do that. And it's like big laughs. Look at tying's like kissing your sister. I got this one. All right, gather up, gentlemen. And I use that term loosely. Same blowhard jokes year after year, you know?
Shecky.
Yeah. That was a big deal, though. In Pop Warner football, no sitting down.
Yeah.
Hey, grab a knee. Grab a knee. Really? Look, are we resting or aren't we? Because if we're resting, I'd like to sit on my can. Number one, what's the grab a knee part? And two, I don't know, from a posture standpoint, from an orthopedic standpoint, how about this? How about we relax, and I do it whatever way I'm most comfortable.
That's
sitting
right.
Indian style, two knees, one knee,
lie down,
on the
whatever.
Ass, whatever, like lie down, whatever it is. We're not running laps, are we?
Yeah.
Let's just start. It's gravity. And like I said, God forbid, once in a while, a guy would sit on his helmet, and then you'd get the, it's not a chair, which, that's the best you're going to, that's
yeah,
it.
That's the reason.
That's, because it's not. And by the way, I don't know, isn't anything you're sitting on a chair?
Right.
Technically.
Man, a stool, at least.
It's something, yeah. All right. Jessica?
Uh-huh.
Once I'd like to flip it around, I'd like to start putting a chair onto my head and have a coach tell me it's not a helmet. That folding chair's not a helmet, son. Get that off your head. All right. Like maybe I was with the Russian circus or something. Jessica?
Yeah, what's up?
You're 20?
20.
20 is what it says. You're 15?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, my problem is, this is Dr. Drew. Okay,
yeah.
I'm 15 and I'm sexually active, but I cannot have intercourse. I can only have it anally. And I don't know if, well, like, I'm uncomfortable. Like, I'm about to do it with my boyfriend, and we've been together for 7 months. And every time that I'm ready to do it, I can't.
But you are doing it the other way.
Yes, that's the only way that I feel comfortable doing it.
Sure.
What do you mean comfortable?
Well, she's old-fashioned. She's an old-fashioned girl, Drew.
Because when I'm about to have an affair, I get nervous, and I'm like, no, he gets all mad. So I don't know, another way, I'm just comfortable with it.
Yeah. This, by the way, when I'm in charge, you're going to be, she will be tagged.
Yeah, caribou. Number,
cataloged.
Caribou.
Pow with the North plant.
Yeah.
High-powered air rifle. Boom, right in the side of the arm.
Jessica, what does the... the way God intended it, I guess, though not at your age. What is it about that that makes it anxiety-provoking?
I like the part where boyfriend gets mad.
Why does that make you anxious? Why does it make you nervous?
Right, wait a minute. How old is your boyfriend?
He's 17.
He's 17. Mm-hmm. And she's 15. Mm-hmm. And no?
Yes.
And what?
Yes. Okay. What are you using for birth control? Though it's maybe it. What's that?
Depo-Vera.
You're on the depo shot.
Yes. Excellent. Oh.
And so what is
my men mess up?
Yeah, that's good.
I'm on the side because I'm ready. Okay, I'm ready to have intercourse, but every time when it comes down to it, I can't do it.
Yeah, right. Anxiety.
What's the anxiety about? Do you know?
Excuse me?
You're
nervous.
Why were you nervous?
Like,
what makes?
I'm not nervous. It's just that I'm getting into it, and like we're about to do it, and I'm like, no.
Why?
It's uncomfortable right there. Like, I don't know. I just get an uncomfortable feeling.
Were you sexually abused when you were a kid?
Well, when I was 7, I was, like, abused,
right.
Yeah, but not raped completely.
All right. Well,
who sexually abused you?
My neighbor.
Okay,
neighbor.
Well, that may be material that you've not yet worked through. And naturally enough, you're, of course, sort of reenacting all of that again by being so sexually active and sort of in a kind of peculiar way. And although when you actually get to vaginal intercourse, it gives you a panic attack and you have flashbacks.
Well, it takes a village.
Post-traumatic stress
disorder. It takes a village.
So, Jessica, please, this is all related to that event, so maybe get some treatment.
No.
The village?
The neighbor.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, Jessica, don't... Okay, you got to get therapy. You were sexually abused. That's all. I don't know any other way to say it. It's been 6.5 minutes. We have to urinate again. We'll be back after this.
All right, guys, bottom line, here's the deal. Looking to hook up?
Sick of wasting time with the wrong person? One call's all you need to make. Call the Dateline. The Dateline.
877-889-DATE.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
1-800-LOVE-191.
We'll be right back.
This hour brought to you in part by Axe. Experience the Axe Effect.
Dr. Drew over here. I tell you, I call my right hand. I was like, well, Dr. Drew, by the end for my Tennessee. Now, I tell you, let me tell you what I heard about Tennessee. I said,
Chris.
Hey. Yeah. All right. We got to just get my head on the phone. And I was speaking to Michelle over here. JT, you're so good with the line to handle. She sounds like, let me hear your question. Mom said, and all of them, Drew, when I was 18, I don't know about you, but I was
and then Anderson, did you hear him at the intro? He was
Michelle.
Yes.
How you doing? What is up?
What's
your name? Nope.
What?
So I have a little question. Love line. Go right ahead, my boy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. My question. Well, breast cancer runs in my family.
And
my grandma actually died from it.
Oh, my problems. How about all of them?
Well, ever since I was little, my mom told me don't sleep with a bra on.
Uh-huh.
So, I was wondering if, I just assumed that increased your chances of getting breast cancer.
Well, I was on a whole lot of them. Drew. His mom's a grandmother with breast cancer. Now she said, "Well, some level of the brawn with the limbs on it." And I'm thinking, "Also, let's get back to the phone."
Hello,
Jill.
Yeah.
All right. So let's have a good doctor over here. Well, something because I'm just a humble radio boy. Absolutely, Drew. Let me tell you something about this problem. I sit here every night with this problem. He sits here like a blah, 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 blah. But as soon as I start, he's like, And I'm like, hey, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what are you looking for? Somebody. Somebody. Come on. Come away.
Okay.
Hello, Michelle.
Yes.
I've got to apologize for my puzzle seminar. He said, blah, blah, blah. Now, okay. Come on, blah. 7:22. It's 22 after 7 with traffic and weather. Drew, I tell you, I tried to make love to my wife the other day.
That is the
problem. You want to talk about
it? Use it. Use it.
You
are.
You want to talk about how about the summer? Oh, boy. How about the summer? 7:24, 24 of 7. Michelle.
Yes.
Yeah, let's have a drill. Let's have a drill. We have a little How's that, Emily? How's the open up with breast cancer?
What?
How's the open up with breast cancer? Very serious.
No, what I'm trying to say is that my grandma's the one that had breast cancer, not me, but my mom actually had spots that she found that was breast cancer, so I'm just trying to figure out if I have a chance of having breast cancer, and if I'm out of it, will that
I'm going to swim in them, another biopsy.
What?
No, man, come on, swim in them. Go swim in them,
okay. Michelle, the wearing the bra at night will accomplish nothing.
Okay.
And... how old was your grandmother when she had breast cancer?
I believe she was 52.
Okay, so she's relatively young. And there are genetic tests you can get to see if you actually are at a special risk of breast cancer.
Newsweek, article, radical mastectomy.
Now, yes, there are. If you really, truly have the what's called the BRCA2 gene, BRCA2 or BRCA, I forget the names of the genes. They're two BRCA2. All right, be that as may, you can be tested for these genes, and they are put you at risk for ovarian cancer and breast cancer. And sometimes the people would recommend a mastectomy, taking the breast tissue out if you have these genes. But the fact is, it doesn't necessarily mean you're at high risk. Wearing the bra will accomplish nothing. It's just important to get regular breast exam, learn self-examination techniques, and get regular mammograms.
Speaking of self-examination, I was in the shower there. I will have a breast cancer, but testicular cancer. Well, I'm there with the time. Now I'm in there, you know, to pick me up. And I'm there, and I hear on the door. So I'm like, well, what's up? And I'm somebody, the mother-in-law. And she, look at Mr. Bubble. The towel bar went and all the dandy. She goes running down the stairs. She says to my wife, how? I'm changed my levels over the bathroom, one hand of all. 7:31 after them.
Did read recently that lung cancer has surpassed breast cancer as leading cause of cancer death in women. So something to keep in mind, those of you that are smoking, and even the smoking impact of smoking will last well beyond the decades after which you have stopped smoking. Right, so if you smoke for a few years now as a young person, but you're out of the woods, you won't be.
Well, all of a sudden, what Drew's saying is just because blah, 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 doesn't mean blah, 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 blah. All right. All right, let's go to somewhere else, Drew. It's kind of gibberish. Drew, you're such a, you know, you're such a, you're a sucker for gibberish.
Evidently. That and the rape descriptions, the rape crime.
Well, it's
rape.
It's a violent crime.
Violent crime. Your mom raised you with that notion, right? It's a violent crime.
It's not a sexual crime. It's an act of violence.
Yes.
Where you come at the end. But it is, do not mistake it for a sexual crime. It is a violent, violent crime.
It's same as if you robbed a bank.
But it'd come.
It is not sexual, though.
No. It is a physical, violent assault where you come. It's no different than if you were just walking your dog down the sidewalk and I came up behind you with a bat and viciously started attacking you and then came. It's no different.
That's right. Same.
Right. It is a crime.
How dare you?
Violent crime where you come. Manuel?
Yes.
You're 25?
Yes.
Didn't we already talk to him?
Mm-mm.
All right. You peed with a boner in the morning.
Yeah.
Now your orgasms don't feel as good.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, I think like every guy, you know, I wake up in the morning with wood and, you know, I had to go to the restroom. And so I, you know, every morning this happens, but this morning I just couldn't hold it in, right? So I went and stood in the bathtub and just kind of, you know, went.
Yeah.
And I think here's a
tip. You don't have to actually climb inside the tub. If you're confident
enough.
It's
quite an image,
enough,
though. It conjures up quite a sense of...
you can actually just...
Poignant image,
you
really.
You stand outside the tub.
Well,
I've learned this through trial and error.
I was, yeah, well...
A few pair of loafers
this
way.
I was really going. So, I mean, I was more straight up than straight out. So I wasn't really going to go forward. So I was just kind of afraid that...
Wow, okay.
Yeah. And God forbid you sneeze.
All right, so you're...
Rainbird.
So when you have an erection, you're up like if it was a drawbridge, it would be half open?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I go, you know, almost
all the way
up,
open?
So.
Wow, against the belly. Wow. All right. So you think you've done some damage in terms of sensitivity?
Well, I don't know. To me, it seems like that it doesn't seem nearly as good, and I didn't really think that too much of it until recently. The two separate girls hadn't even thought that I'd gone, you know, and so I'm thinking that maybe I get so little actual movement and reaction down there during the actual, you know, dropping of the load.
So you sort of, you feel like you pulled a muscle down there or something.
Yeah.
There's something to that.
During the actual dropping of the load.
Yeah, it's nice.
The dropping of load sounds like some sort of a ceremony that has been passed down through generations. The ceremonial dropping of the load.
Well, it sounds like a druid ritual.
Yeah.
Something at Stonehenge or something.
Yeah, something you might get some B-list celebrity to do in your town. Now, for the ceremonial dropping of the load, you know her as the black chick from Star Trek. Then she would make some sort of announcement. All right. What about it, Drew? There's nothing you can do.
There's nothing you can do. It doesn't conjure, in my mind, anything specific. I bet it's just maybe an irritation or something in that area.
He'll
will go away. I can't imagine it's anything serious. So you'd have to have anything done with it.
Julie.
But if it continues, see a urologist.
Julie?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
You're 20. What's up?
I was raped when I was 13, and it didn't really affect me, but...
Drew thinks that's funny, by the way. I don't.
Go ahead.
Okay, and it's just like, seems to be troubling me now.
How old was the family friend?
He was 22.
And it really sounds more like a rape, huh?
She said rape.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought she said molested.
See, I told you reading poisons your mind. That's what you get for reading.
Were you molested at a younger age?
No.
Nothing? You weren't victimized in any way prior to that?
No.
Was this a violent act, or was it just sort of an exploitation where he kind of seduced you?
No, it was pretty violent.
Violent. And did you report him?
What?
Did you report
him? No, because it was my best friend's older brother's friend.
Oh, I see.
Somebody that close to your family. I mean,
yeah, I know
your best friend's older brother's friend's cousin's girlfriend.
I don't know what your point was. So you mean you knew him too well, or you didn't know him well enough, or
I didn't really know him. Like, that was the first time I met him.
Wouldn't you want to report that?
I don't know. I guess
scared.
I'm embarrassed about it.
Right.
All right. Well, but that means you're a victim, Julie. That means that, you don't stand up for yourself. You know, you can't.
It can,
I understand you could be confused and shame, but usually they'll register some defense on their own behalf.
Did you have any kind of crush on him or anything before this?
No, I didn't know him.
Especially when this is an especially violent and scary event.
Yeah, the only reason I asked about the crush thing is if you can feel a little guilty if you're attracted to somebody and then they do this, you think somehow you willed it or you were participating or something like that. And what do you mean? Now, where did this happen?
It was at my friend's house.
And where was your friend?
She was in the other room because her parents were out of town, and so they're having a party, and I went over there.
And did you scream for help?
I tried, but he was, like, too big.
And he really violently, you know, he tore your clothes off?
I he hit me and stuff. And like,
oh, my God. And you didn't report this?
Well, because, I mean, my parents didn't know that I was over there. Like, that her parents went out of town and... I don't know. I didn't want to know
that. I see
the
whole situation you were hiding. Oh, my goodness.
This guy's an animal.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a 22-year-old guy hitting a 13-year-old and raping her?
Oh, my God. Of course it's bothering. Julie, this is something that needs to be treated. It would be bizarre if you didn't have emotional consequences from something like that.
Yeah.
And I would bet that there was more things going on that you not that you put yourself in a situation so much as the things that were coming to bear at that time. You couldn't be honest with your parents and you couldn't speak up for yourself when you were the victim of a violent... This was truly a... This was sort of...
Yeah.
We've been kidding about this, but here it is. Even with the you know, the sexual part of it, it was a violent crime in her case.
Yeah. All right, so Julie.
Yeah.
You gotta get some therapy.
Yeah, let's get some treatment. Are you in college now?
Yes.
All right. Go to the mental health services at the college. Are you having panic attacks or nightmares or flashbacks or something?
Just like nightmares and stuff. And like my boyfriend is really like supportive and like helping me out and stuff through it. But
that's good.
Well, there's nothing he can really do other than, you know, get you to the therapist. So go to the mental health services at the school. Listen, one of the real frustrating challenges of dealing with college-age kids is that they go to institution.
Wow.
How dare you?
Wow.
But socks the mic every night.
I did.
Don't you know where your hand is? How could there's this huge instrument in front of you. How could you have hit it with your coffee?
All right, Drew's reacting to me reacting to him punching the mic on a nightly basis. But you got to understand, you do it every night.
I
do it once every 6 years.
Yes, that's true.
All right.
Okay. But be that as it may, that was Julie. The frustrating thing about dealing with college-age kids is they go to institutions where are these very well-developed, elaborate healthcare systems, and mental healthcare systems especially, designed for free, for them, for their age specifically, and they just don't go.
Oh, wait a minute. I smell junior college. Julie?
Yeah.
You going to junior college?
No.
Fresno State. Year.
4 year?
Yes.
Fresno State.
I got a lot of friends who have turned junior college into a 9-year program. But you're going to regular, you're going to Fresno State?
Yes.
Okay. So avail yourself of all
use
they
stuff.
Have.
Use the services, all right?
Take care of yourself.
Okay.
This should be a highly treatable thing.
And by the way, you know, you're not going to walk in and talk about this with somebody and have them look at you cross-eyed. This is probably 80% of the stuff that comes in there with young women at college age is talking about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They probably have, you know, groups and counseling and the whole nine yards just specifically for rape victims or survivors. Are you ready to roll here, Joe?
Here we go.
Let's talk to April, who's...
Hi, Adam.
April. Hey.
You're my God. I just
Thank
wanted to
you.
Let you know that.
I'm a fan of yours.
My question for you guys is I normally get strep throat probably about 4 times a year.
Well, wait a minute. Whoa.
Okay.
How is that documented?
I just, for the past probably 4 or 5 years, ever since 8th grade, I seem to get it about 4 times a year.
How is it documented that it's in fact strep?
I go to the doctor.
And they do a strep test? They do a culture or a strep test on you?
Yeah, they do.
And each time it comes up strep.
Yep.
All right.
That does not make sense.
Why not?
Why would one person get recurrent strep? Do you have large tonsils?
I don't think so. They haven't ever said anything.
Well,
I can see them, so I think.
I mean, the only thing I could think of that would be at least
putting you at risk of recurrent bacterial infections would be tonsils that need to come out. And there's a sort of rule of thumb, if you have more than four infections a year, they come out.
Oh, really?
So that would be one.
They had said something about that. If I keep getting it, they want to take it out.
All right, so that's your one. You need to do that.
Yeah. True, do you have your tonsils?
I seem to get it whenever I deep throat, I end up getting it.
Do you do that at the doctor's office?
Yeah, Adam. My doctor and I have a personal relationship like that.
Well, Drew has a policy when they can't pony up the deductible for the medical insurance. Things run differently.
I have a female doctor. Places.
All right, whatever. all right, so pretty snobby for someone who does a lot of deep throating. Usually they're more laid back breed. You have a boyfriend?
I don't.
No, you don't. But you still manage to do a fair bit of deep throating.
Well, sometimes. Not all the
I like
time,
that.
But.
I don't like the deep throating because to me it's like I don't want my bait to be gobbled up by the fish, you know, that way. It makes me feel like a worm in the in a big mouth bass.
You feel small.
Yeah, well, I'd like a little gagging. And a little, like, this is what I'd like. I'd like just, like, a little, like, oh, my God. Or, oh, I can barely get my hand around it twice. Or, you know, something like that. Like, I don't
we'll
like that.
We'll work on that when you and I get together.
Yeah. Here's what I'd like you to do. First off, no talking when you're doing it, because that's a bad sign, too. Like,
don't
when
talk.
You're going, like, oh, yeah, baby, that feels good. And they're like, yeah, hey, thanks. You shouldn't be able to form sentences. With my penis in your mouth, and then number two, I want some, like, you don't have to say like, oh, it's so big, but I want some like, ooh, like, you know, when you first see it, you know, you go, oh, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but
try that, April?
But then you'd go, no,
I'll try that, Adam.
No, I you know,
you'd go with it.
You know, look, here's what I'm saying.
You'd feel disingenuous. Look,
you've gotten bad haircuts, right?
Yeah,
but then people have come up and BS'd you a little. No, you look good. You look good. You believe them, right?
Yeah.
You know it's a bad haircut. But
I can't see the haircut.
But you think they like it.
I can't see the haircut.
You know, got a mirror, don't you, goofball?
Yeah, but you're not like, huh?
Nah, you see them looking at you with your bad haircut, you still believe it.
All right.
St. April could do that for me. And then, you know, like you said, like when you try the deep throat, don't be able to pull it off. Okay?
Yeah. I should pretend to gag then?
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. If this is stirring up that area, you shouldn't be doing that, eh?
And what about the guy getting
this? Can't carry streptococci then?
What about it, Drew?
It doesn't make sense that you'd be with different guys and still getting recurrent strep. You know, it just doesn't fit. You can get chlamydia and gonorrhea of the throat, and that's one of the more commonly increasing categories of STIs right now. So maybe some of it was that, but the whole thing is suspect about it being strep. But if you were getting bacterial infections of the throat recurrently with the tonsils, they need to come out.
All right,
take care of that.
Some people generically use strep throat when they have a very bad sore throat.
Yes, and that is wrong. That
it is
a
wrong.
Totally different thing, yes.
But if you get reoccurring bad sore throats, don't you have to get your tonsils out?
Not necessarily.
No.
No.
So if I was getting reoccurring bad sore throats,
we'd have to figure that out, whether he's ulcerating, whether viral, whether something related to your nose, your postnasal drip, or what was going on.
But it would be, let's just take the tonsils out.
No, not necessarily at all.
I sleep with my mouth wide open.
You need all kinds of things fixed up back there. You do.
Wide open.
I know, it must be disgusting.
When I look like is a dead retarded person when I sleep. I imagine that's what they would look like.
Yeah.
It's wide open. That's a half a pillow shoved in my mouth.
Must be so uncomfortable.
Oh,
how does your wife sleep
horrible,
in the same room with you?
Horrible cotton mouth.
What is that?
Just tongue cleaving to the roof of my mouth. Just like I get up and it's just.
Do you get that thing now where it gets so dry in the back of your throat, it's like you have to cough and it feels horrible.
If something makes contact with it, it will spot well
sticks,
to it.
Mm.
So then what I usually do is I go to bed about 2:15, 2:30, and then somewhere about 6:45 I lie there and I think, now what's making me more uncomfortable, my intense need to urinate or my bone-dry, desert-like, sand ashtray of a mouth, and I lie there and I think, man, and then I think, you know, one way I could cure this whole thing and not get up, pee in my mouth. Oh yes. And then I think, you know, Drew did say urine was sterile. And then I think, okay, I just got, and then I picture Drew holding a big thumbs, holding a tumbler of frothy urine and a thumbs up right next to it, and that's when I begin.
Nice.
That's when I start. Mm-hmm.
That'll work. Are you going to try that tonight?
No,
how was it? Yeah, it's good.
Well, I'm here. I like when people give that answer. I'm here.
All right,
buddy. Let's take a little break. What
do
you
say? That'd be good.
When we get back, we're going to speak to Elizabeth. She's a virgin, wants to start having sex with a friend. Can she get boyfriend?
Birth control. Secretly.
Oh, okay, bud. See, I can read three or four words, but then I run out of steam.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Bush had that problem yesterday. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Love line.
We'll be right back.
You know, Drew, smelling good is more than a smell. It's an attitude.
That's true, Adam.
It is?
Yeah. I know how to get that attitude, too.
How? Pray tell.
Axe deodorant body spray. Can't lose.
That's Dr. Drew. We got a Germany or Florida coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We got Germany or Florida. We got someone over here who's mad at me. And we got this big fat guy, Drew.
What you want?
Talked to him in a while.
Yeah.
Let's get rid of the person who's mad at me real fast. Beth?
Yeah.
21. Go ahead.
I just had a comment more than a question. First of all, I think you guys are totally entertaining. But, Adam, I got to ask, why do you talk so much during the whole show?
Well, sometimes I try not to, and then the show seems to drag.
Well, but the thing is, sometimes you'll get the question out of somebody, and then you go, it's like this super exciting question from somebody you really want to know what, like, the rest of it is, and then you go, hold on a minute.
Hold on, what show are you listening to?
In LA.
Hold on, this super exciting question from someone you really want to talk to?
Yeah, like, sometimes you'll ask the question, they'll tell their question, they want to know, like, you know, help me out, whatever. And then you go, okay, wait, that reminds me, I was driving on Sepulveda today, and you go off on a tangent. Yeah. And it's just kind of like, well, I want to hear what the guy was going to say.
Well, I want to hear what they're going to say, too, except for the super exciting part. I think that's the part I have difficulty with in your assertion.
Why do you have difficulty with that?
Because while I will give you the fact that somebody who, you know, got pregnant at 14 and gave up their son and then was reunited with them at 28 and all that stuff sounds great. When you really hear them say it, it's rarely delivered in a coherent and exciting fashion. True. Back me up?
She's agreeing.
You can't imagine that somebody that's had a tragic life is going to be like, hey, listen to this great story I got. You know, you kind of got to take it for what it's worth, right?
No, they don't have to be upbeat or peppy about it. They just have to move in a sort of linear fashion and get from point A to point B to point C and not sort of drag. And that's where our callers have difficulty.
Yeah. I don't know, but I'm sure you've heard, you kind of have one of those voices that sometimes you just kind of like get to the end of it, right? Have you ever heard that before?
No.
Yeah?
Not really. Well, look, here's the thing.
Mom?
Yeah.
Are you talking about my nasally voice?
No, but it's funny. I like it and I appreciate it. But sometimes when you're talking for like an hour.
Yeah. Well, listen, okay, hold on a second, Drew. Stop me if I'm wrong. I don't really like talking that much.
That's true.
I really wouldn't. If I thought this show could move along in a cadence that was acceptable, I would gladly hang back. I got ideas, I got stories, I got things I like to say, but I'm perfectly willing to hang back and let things...
Just behave the way you do in real life.
Yeah, I don't talk that much in real life. Like, Engineer Chris, what did I say, 3 words to you in the 6 months I've been here? Did I talk your ear off?
All the time. How about Nicole, who broadcasts in the next studio down? She thinks you hate her because you've never said one word to her. You pass her every night.
I say something to her.
Yeah, hey.
All right, hey. How you doing?
Little Indian.
Yahe. How's it going? There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not a huge talker, but watch. Well, I'll try it. We'll see if we can get someone who's compelling and see what it see if it does. All right. So I'm willing to try it your way, Beth.
Okay. Well, right, you don't necessarily have to change it, but just call it the Adam Show. Don't call it Loveline anymore.
We'll see if we can get people that will put sentences together and provide the kind of entertainment.
You sound like you're the sort of the front person for a group of people who've been sitting around chatting about something.
Wait, what?
You sound like you're vocalizing something that you've been discussing with somebody else. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
no, this isn't just me.
It's just you. All right.
I'm just driving with my boyfriend, and we were listening to it. Random comment I made, so I'm like, hey, I'll call him and tell him.
All right. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay, but thanks anyway.
All right. Thanks anyway. I just told her I was going to implement her policy.
She wants you to continue doing it, but change the name of the show to The Adam Show. See, that was her suggestion. Yeah, I know. Let's keep
going. Look, hold on a second. Whatever it is I do on the show is not going to please everybody. I'm well aware of that. Mm. And here's the good news. I don't care. I really don't. I don't see any email. I don't talk to anybody. I don't think anyone listens to this show. And Drew, I don't know how many discussions we've had about this show outside of this show, but have you ever heard me say, gee, I wonder what people thought about this, or I'm concerned about that, or I need to start doing this or that?
Never.
But be honest.
Never.
Okay. When the show's over, what do I talk about?
Your house, your mom, and your grandmother.
Thank you.
And sometimes your dad.
Which is not to say I don't care about the show. I just do it the best I can, and
sometimes
then that's
your sister.
It. That's it.
And sometimes people's driving.
All right. You ever see me look at an email, read a letter?
Never.
Ever?
Occasionally, Ann will put a couple down here, and I'll go, hey, look at this, and you won't.
There you go.
There you go.
All right. So in 9 years, how many emails do you think I've looked at?
Maybe one.
Letters read?
Zero.
Thank you. All right. Sean?
Hey, what's going on?
You're 17. What's the problem?
Well, before I get to my question, I just wanted to say, Adam, you are freaking hilarious, and that girl needs to shut her mouth.
Thanks, baby doll. But I'm going to try a sort of a laissez-faire approach to this.
A Beth approach.
Well, I don't know. Like, I don't know if you remember this, but a while back you were goofing on some PSAs, and the one where they're singing Amazing Grace. I think Dag was in on the show, and you guys were just rolling on the floor. I was dying. You guys were goofing on kids getting shot and singing.
Right. Mm-hmm. What's your question tonight?
I'm like severely overweight, and like I've done tons of diets, and I just can't. I can't get.
What are you coming in at?
6'1" and like just under like 350. I think I'm like 341.
What's the lowest weight you've gotten to?
Huh?
What's the lowest weight you've gotten to?
I did the Atkins, and I got down to like 270, and then I came off of it, and I just rebounded severely.
Are your parents big?
My mom is. My dad's a toothpick, but he's not around.
That's black
very there. Much.
Oh, he's split?
Huh?
Is he black?
Am I?
Your dad?
No.
Okay. And Drew wrote something down and handed it to
him. No.
And he split?
Yeah.
Is it because your mom ballooned up and he's a toothpick? Or?
Yeah, well, she's been big like ever since I can remember.
Okay. Well, look, any guy who's 17 and 350 pounds has a genetic predisposition to weight gain.
For the most part. And No,
you know what? Straight on.
Well, or there's abuse survivors that'll do this sometimes, but...
Uh-oh.
Yeah? You don't know what?
I've been, like, trying this diet, like, where I've been taking that hydroxycut stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, I wake up in the morning and I'll drink a V8 and I'll take a couple hydroxycuts. And then in the afternoon I'll eat, like, a very small lunch and take a couple more. And I drink, like, a ton of water.
What's a hydroxycut?
Yeah. It's like...
What is it?
It's like a metabolism boost, appetite suppressant.
It's got to have something not good in it, because that's the only thing that will
happen. Well, it says it's ephedra-free, so...
Yeah, but there are things like ephedra out there that are not so great for you. But listen, the fact... Have you worked with a dietitian?
Yeah, and, like, they gave me, like a diet that was, like, almost impossible to follow.
All right, like, and have you tried exercising?
Yeah, I do, like, a cardio workout.
All right, here's the deal. All right. So, Sean, if you've worked with a dietitian, if you've diligently applied yourself and you're exercising and you still can't lose weight, that is the time to really look into obesity surgery, bariatric surgeries. There are procedures that can be done now that are very effective. They're done through a scope. They don't even have to open you up necessarily. That
is designed for people like you. There are people, it's pretty clear now, the people that are in the sort of weight range you're talking about and people that have what Adam is calling genetic predisposition, something has to be done to reverse that genetic potentiality, and that's surgery. And that's the only thing that has sustained weight loss associated with it.
All right.
So there you go.
Well, there you go, Beth. That was my semi-hands-off approach to call. I'm done with that. And let me ask you this, Drew.
Yeah.
Is there always been a certain percentage of society that was obese?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know how you could tell. I guess, you know, you see portraits and things like that from, days of yore. If you were fat, you know, if you were Henry VIII, they'd probably even trim you up a little.
In the old days, obesity was considered a sign of success.
Well,
and wealth.
Yeah, but that was being sort of filled out. Was obesity?
Absolutely. It was a guy named Mr. Pickwick in some of the Charles Dickens. I forget which Charles Dickens' tale, but the guy was hugely obese, and it was sort of looked at as the corpulent, successful, you know,
right,
wealthy guy.
Well, there was never the lard-ass popper. I mean, it was always the successful, yeah, head, you know, sort of captain of industry guy that was
and
big
women,
and fat.
Big women were considered sort of desirable, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Bad times back then. And here's, and by the way, big gal, you mix that with no showers, and You got a little trouble downstairs. You know what I'm saying?
I'm listening.
Yeah. By the way, no waxing, no showers, and 250 pounds, fellas. Yeah,
good times.
You got to put some spices on that hamburger, so don't go bad. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, in those days, it wasn't oral sex considered a sin or something.
I sure hope it was. I would have been leading that crusade if they weren't. But here's the thing. There's always. When you're fat, and I mean that fat at 17, that is the way you are. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't do society any good, really. There's two things society wants to do when you're fat. They want to, A, make fun of you.
Make it your problem, yeah.
B, make fun of you. Actually, A through like G, make fun of you. And then G through Z, sell you stuff.
Yeah.
Whether they be ideas, books, protein shakes, try again. So society, it's really, there's no interest for society to say, look, that's just the way you are. It's a genetic thing. That's the way you're cut. It's, you know, it's like attacking somebody who has a big nose or male pattern baldness,
yeah,
and stuff. And we still do that, mm-hmm, even realizing that there's nothing they can do about it. But really, fat people, and I do believe that they are getting the brunt of all the political correctness that is going on in this society.
I mean, all the political correctness gets converted over to ostracism.
Here's the deal.
Obese.
There's no more Pollock jokes.
Yeah.
Now, there's fat jokes.
Right.
And there's no more black jokes. There's no more Mexican jokes. God knows the people are still funny. There's no more good Asian jokes. There's no more good. We cannot make fun of people anymore, you know, religion-wise or ethnicity-wise. So the last bastion of attack, the last target for our arrows are fat people.
And they're going to take it all.
And if you watch television, mm-hmm, or listen to the radio or whatever, that's fine. I mean, that's where they go. I mean, if you substitute fat guy for black guy or fat guy for Jewish guy or fat guy for Asian guy or whatever it is, and you take those same barbs and steer it toward those people, there would be outrage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the station would be flooded with letters. No, you know, Jimmy Kimmel couldn't do his late night show and make fun of Star Jones being black. He could make fun of Star Jones being fat.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying she deserves to be made fun of because she's black, but the idea that it's okay to make fun of her because she's fat, somehow that's okay.
Right.
And the only way that can remain okay is if we decide they brought it on themselves.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah,
because then it makes it easier.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at you. You slob. Have some respect.
Stop eating those McDonald's. Stop the fast food. If you just cut out the fast food, you'd be fine. If you cut out the fast, you hear all this, the shibboleths out there.
It's
if
more,
you cut this out, if you cut
it's
that.
It's more like have some discipline, have some self-respect,
yeah,
have some dignity. Look, super skinny guys, by the way. The super skinny guys do anything to say super skinny unless they're doing mounds of heroin. I mean, think about the guys, you know, that are sort of wiry. Look at Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce makes a Ichabod Crane
look fat.
Look like Veruca Salt. Is that the fat one from
Augustus Gloop?
Augustus Gloop. I mean, he has his Adam's apple as an Adam's apple. I mean, this guy, I swear to Christ, he is a beanpole, Dr. Bruce. Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Bruce is the only adult male I know who takes 16 sugars in his coffee. Not three, 16. Okay?
And we put whipped cream on it if we had it.
If yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, he eats like an idiot. I mean, he eats like a stoned five-year-old. Do you understand?
Yeah. And he's a beanpole.
And he's a beanpole.
Yeah.
Do we need to know what his secret is?
Well, maybe you ought to suggest him. He put out some videos.
Yeah, he needs to come out with a book.
Book, videos.
It's called Under 20 Packets in Your Coffee. You make that.
You get the fat guy. You get Phil telling other people how to be thin.
Dr. Phil?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, he's
well, he knows.
Thin. Yeah.
And now, look, here's the thing, everybody.
Wait a minute.
Okay. Stop eating so much. Start exercising a lot. Obviously, you're going to move in the right direction. You ain't never going to be Dr. Beanpole. You're just not. And, like I said, if you got his metabolism, you can be a 45-year-old man who puts 16 packets of sugar in his coffee. That's it. Okay. Thank you very much. Let's take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back.
If you need help, hang up and then dial.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
Now you and a guest can enjoy three nights at Chicago's House of Blues, experiencing a series of amazing live concerts. And we'll get you there. Go to www.bluejamsessions.com to enter to win and to see complete rules. Brought to you by Blue from American Express.
Dr. Paintball. Drew played some paintball today, and the adrenaline still coursing through his veins.
Yeah, it was good times.
It's exciting.
Yeah,
it's fun. People need a little of that. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I told you to get going.
I know. When the opportunity came around, I thought, Adam said, this is good. I'm going.
I think that'll be one of my things. When I'm on my deathbed, I'll think, I should have done more stretching.
More paintball.
And I should have played more paintball. Because, paintball is great. It's a blast. It's fun. And I got some money. I got some friends. We should go play.
The guy's really into it.
Be real.
Right?
Yeah.
He's way into it. He's plays on teams and competitions and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. We'll call it Be Real. Don't want to go paintballing. Jim?
He asked us last time he was up here.
I know, but it's so ambitious, you know.
Like I said, on your deathbed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim?
Yeah?
You're 20?
Yep.
What's your question?
My girlfriend, I think she has more of like a sexual drive when she's off of birth control.
That can happen.
Really?
Yeah, some women, depending on which pill they're taking. And for each woman, it's different. Some women, their sex drive is suppressed by the progesterone. In fact, most often that's the case. Others, it's enhanced by that. Same is true of the estrogens. For some, the estrogen suppresses it. Some, it enhances it. And some are neutral. Each woman is different how they respond to these hormones. You have to kind of find how they respond to them and what they can tolerate.
Okay.
And, maybe there's other symptoms, too, that she starts to become aware of when she comes off them. Like maybe she feels more tired or a little more depressed. So it's something to keep an eye on.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk to Amber, who's 23. Amber?
Hi. How are you guys?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. I just wanted to say, Dr. Drew, I love you.
Thank you, Amber.
I mean, you're one of the sexiest men in America. So.
Oh, my God. Amber. Call back again.
Yeah.
You asked.
I told her to call back.
Oh, you're an idiot.
We asked her to call back.
Oh, right. Come on.
All right. All right, Amber, let's go. Come on, baby.
I was wondering if you can use olive oil as a lubricant, or if that will upset your natural flora. If that'll, irritate the skin at all.
Yeah. If you used anything that said extra virgin on you, it would probably burst into flames when it hit your vagina.
No, Adam, be serious.
One.
No, with formal drops, they go, run away.
Yeah. Who is this, Mama Celeste? I don't remember. I didn't think I dated myself with a frozen pizza.
Oh, my God.
Do they have Celeste? Mama Celeste? Is she not around anymore? Ann says yes. Chris, what the hell? Your mom does all the shopping. What are you talking about?
She does all the home cooking. She's the Italian, right?
Yeah, mom's Italian. Don't give
it
that
is Mama voice. Celeste.
Quiet down over there.
Yeah.
Shut your own mouth.
Amber, anything can upset the natural flora in there. You've heard us talk about before. And olive oil is not sort of one of the recommended lubricants. They're water-based, very inert lubricants
inert
out
stuff.
There.
What's the definition of inert? Nothing.
It doesn't interact chemically with anything.
Yeah, so it's like, I guess, to me, I think as a layperson, I think of organic. Now, is inert the opposite of organic? And if you took an inert material and just sort of left it out, it would just sort of go away, but there wouldn't be fungus growing on it, right?
No, inert, nothing would happen.
Nothing would happen.
Yeah, zip.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It's inert. It says no inertia. No.
Well, that's what
action.
I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing. It wouldn't go away, just nothing.
Well, I'm saying eventually.
Something could happen. Yeah, it could evaporate or
yeah,
something.
That's yeah. what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right.
It wouldn't transform into something else. It wouldn't interact with anything.
Right. Take a piece of bread out, and eventually it starts growing moss and stuff on it.
Yeah.
All right. So listen, Amber. How about you just spring for some nice lubricant?
KY, yeah.
Right. But the problem is when. Like, we didn't have any in the house, so I was trying to think what we could
Ah, desperation.
Olive oil would be somewhere near the top of my, you know.
List of maybes?
Yeah, I mean, like, you start thinking Vaseline, and then you start thinking,
Why
you know, 30 weight.
That badly? What are they doing? What are you doing that you need lubricant that badly?
Well, it's just we had, like, a strawberry condom, and I sucked off all of the lubricant that was on it, and we didn't want to like stop and go to the store or pick up some KY in the middle of it. So
Amber's a keeper. Suck the lubricant right off the flavored condom. Still good to go. Out of lube. Let's hit the pantry and see what we can find.
Wow, Amber.
Wow, that's a gamer.
Yeah, I wouldn't be into using the olive oil with
She's what we call a cracker jack.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what you call a cracker jack. She's good to go. She's like a MacGyver with a vagina. All right. Kimberly?
Yes.
You're 20?
Oh, you guys cracked me up. Yes.
What's up?
This is actually for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Almost a month ago, I went to the bathroom, and there's sort of bloody discharge, and so I waited a couple days, and I called.
What blood discharge from your vagina?
Yeah.
It wasn't mid-cycle bleeding? It wasn't just...
Actually, I haven't got my period since February, so...
How can you tell a bloody discharge from just bleeding?
Well, because it wasn't a lot. Like, it was just...
No,
like,
listen, Kimberly, that's just bleeding.
Okay.
That's just your cycle.
Where'd your period go?
I have no idea.
you need to get this more thoroughly evaluated.
Okay.
That may have just been a light period. You may not be ovulating. You may have... There's a lot of things to this. This needs to be sort of sorted out.
I did call the doctor, and they're like, don't worry about it. If it gets worse, call us back. But
No, you shouldn't worry about it. It's a very common condition to have irregular. You're having very irregular periods after having. You need to know why. And if you particularly have you had regular periods in the past, you need to figure this out. And it's a pretty simple workup, so go to your doctor to check that out. Okay.
Thanks.
But don't worry.
But good times. But good times.
Good times.
All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break when we come back. We'll come back with more of the show.
Yeah,
yes?
Yeah.
After this.
Okay, so I know there's nothing wrong with me. So what's up?
So I was like you, and I used to think that these datelines were totally cheesy.
Why can't I meet anybody?
But I tried everything else and thought, what the hell? So I called the dateline and actually met a cool guy.
I called the dateline and I hooked up with some cool people.
Believe it or not, other normal people are out there looking too.
877-889-DATE.
1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back.
This hour brought to you in part by Axe. Experience the Axe effect.
Well, there you go. Two fabulous hours of the best of Loveline. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline.
The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.